Spectrum Internet has enough speed to handle all your needs. So you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus, Spectrum's advanced Wi-Fi provides enhanced security for all your connected devices. Get Spectrum Internet with fast and reliable speeds, starting at just $29.99 a month with a 2-year price guarantee. Visit spectrum.com/internet for you for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
This squad, they're like a bunch of crazy dogs.
Welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Thanks so much for being with us for the next hour. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Super Bowl champion Howard Cross. So glad you could join us again. We'll be here up until 1:30 p.m. live Eastern time to talk New York Giants football. We've had quite a number of newsbreakers coming out of this building over the course of the last week, and so I'm sure there are still some of you who don't want to be shy. Give us a call, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And as always, you can catch an archive of this program, if you don't hear us live, on the Giants Podcast Network, the Giants mobile app, podcast platforms everywhere, and at giants.com/podcast. Howard, couple of things. It's great to see you again, as always.
Always, Paul.
And a couple things this week that really kind of set off fireworks. Of course, one was the commemorative tribute to years past with the Giants uniform release.
Yes, that's dressed in red.
Okay, so I'll start there. We'll go one by one through a couple of these headlines and just get a couple of your quick takes on them.
Okay.
The Giants, as an organization, started in 1925, and so they're using three different elements from uniforms in the first decade of the team in combination to form a hybrid throwback, which they can wear up to two times this season in commemoration of their 100th season of Giants football.
Just great marketing. You can't say much, but it's just great marketing. You think about what's going on, you know, being an organization, being in the Pro Football League, one of the original teams, 100 years in, it's pretty cool. You know, if not the best organization in pro football. Everyone who comes here from other teams always talks about like what a first-class organization is and how excited they are to be here. They've always treated, you know, the players past and present great. You know, just a great organization. 100 years is going to be a big celebration.
From a player's perspective, Howard, and I don't think that you were one of those guys I'm going to talk about, but I know there are some guys who are very image conscious, and they care about how they look in a uniform. I don't think you were one of those guys.
No, I was playing against Reggie White and those guys.
So yeah, you had too much other things to worry about.
I got stuff to think about. I need more pads and trying to figure out how to get a mouthpiece right. My mouthpiece in? Okay.
I'm just curious. Do you ever remember chatting with a teammate who was very much into
I would never call a guy's name.
You wouldn't tell him anyway.
I'm a tight end. I sat with the receiver, so you can bet they were making sure their towel was the right.
I knew you had a few.
Had their socks right. No, I'm like, I said, they're like, dude, you don't. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm preparing for battle. I don't know what you can do the fashion show, but I'm gonna make sure I got all my fingers and toes when I come back. That's all I care about, man. So it was a little different for tight ends.
Just make sure all that safety equipment.
Everything, man. Hey, man. Whatever they issued, I wore it. Just give me two.
Okay. So that was one big announcement. Another one, of course, was the 100th season book that'll be coming out. We look forward to that. It'll be released in September. You'll be able to get it online through the Giants website. That's a really cool thing. I'm sure you'll be in there somewhere, Howard.
I've played in 10% of the 100
exactly.
years. A little more than 10% of the 100 years.
I mean, that puts you in a very, very small category.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Of course, another one of the huge items was the NFL schedule release. Now, that wasn't necessarily Giants-related. It was league-related.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule is out. Giants hosting the Minnesota Vikings in the first game of the 2024 regular season. They will finish the regular season in Philadelphia at the link against the dreaded Eagles.
No surprise. No surprise with the Eagles at the end. I think the league is trying to make sure they keep those conference games a little tighter in the end of the season, make sure there's a little more drama. Division games, and right. it just makes it better for the league, for people watching and stuff. So it should be fun. I think it's funny that for the first time in a long time, we're not starting out with Dallas. So that's interesting. it's just like what happened? Like, I guess they just don't, they don't know what Dallas is going to be, so let them warm up before they play us, I guess.
Well, the Giants did wind up with a Thursday night game against Dallas at home, and then a Thursday Thanksgiving game on the road against Dallas. So national television still got their fill of Giants Cowboys.
I don't know what's going on with this.
Well, I'll tell you why, Howard.
Okay.
Because habitually every season.
Mm-hmm.
The regular season ratings for the National Football League, the Giants-Cowboys game, at least one of those games always finishes among the top five or six games.
Well, I understand
it always
that.
Does.
Yeah, I understand.
In fact, last year, did you know, the Giants-Cowboys, I think it was the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was the Thanksgiving game, I'm sorry, had the highest regular season rating of any NFL TV game last season.
Wow. Well,
people are attracted to this matchup.
Good for them. Okay. I don't like the Cowboys, but okay, I understand.
I don't say that we have to. Or the Eagles,
or that Washington team, whatever their name is this week. But okay, I get it.
The Giants did take their bye week following the trip to Germany to play the Carolina Panthers. That would be week 10, and then week 11 they have the bye. Now, that's an interesting decision because, as we now know, over the last few years, the league has decided that they'll give the teams who play it in the international game the option. If they want the bye week when they come back from that game, or if they'd like it another time. Last time with the Giants, when they went to London and played Green Bay, they decided that was too early in the schedule. They wanted the bye later on. So they declined the immediate bye.
Yeah,
this time they took it.
Yeah, but at 10 games, though, it's kind of middle of the season, right?
Yeah.
It's not like it's early in the season or too late in the season. So I think that's a smart move by the Giants to do that. It's going to be a big adjustment coming back, when you go the time change and everything, and trying to come back and practice over there after that, it's a little tough.
Yeah, I totally concur with that. Another big news item that came out this week is that there'll be a new third version of Hard Knocks. Now, this one is an off-season, springtime chronology, as opposed to a training camp version of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. And then there was the in-season version of Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
This one is now an off-season version of Hard Knocks, and the Giants, as we know, the announcement came out the other day.
Mm-hmm.
There, the topic, it will trace from the end of the 2023 season up until, I believe it's going to go up until the end of the mini camp. I don't know how much of the real training camp it's going to get to, but it will air every Tuesday through 5 weeks of July. And I think, from my perspective, Howard, and I really want to get your take on it too, because for a lot of teams, that training camp and in-season program can be very distracting and can cause a lot of outside-the-building issues.
Mm.
This should be relatively tame when you compare what some of the other Hard Knocks have been.
It should be, because there's not, a lot of players are here doing their little workouts, doing the training, and if it goes just to the mini camp, they get to see the rookies come in and some of the promotional stuff that happens. So it's kind of the real inside part of football, the stuff that people don't see and get to talk about. But I will continue to say this when it comes down to football and the media, and I guess any sport in the media, it's just like hot dogs. You don't always want to know what they're making You want to enjoy the product, at the end product. You keep asking, you keep looking. And I don't know why the NFL does it, but I know the fans kind of love it. But I'm just saying, you give people start to talk about, well, why are they doing that? And then they, you know, it's just start something that talking heads that have no idea what they're looking at when they're watching it. It kind of freaks me out. I'm like, you're showing too much. Just, you know, show them the games.
Well, topics was sure to see, and how much that remains to be seen. But yeah, we'll get topics like the combine, the Senior Bowl. You'll get the draft. You'll get free agency. You'll get rookie minicamp. Those are the kinds of things that
you'll
are going to be stuffed
you'll
into
get the workouts.
Sausage. The workouts.
You'll get the workouts. Yep.
That's what's going to be in this sausage.
And you get all the pickups in the free agency.
Yeah.
Are they going to show how they evaluated these guys and how what made them pick up the guys?
I'm sure the proprietary stuff is going to stay behind closed doors.
I don't know. See, I'm telling you, that's why I don't like it.
I understand. I will say this, and we talked about this. In fact, I was with John the other day on the program. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, ever since they got here 2.5 seasons ago, have been very, very accommodating and as media-friendly as they can be. They came from a Buffalo organization that really believed in having a lot of media. No, they did.
I'm saying this is a lot. This is a lot more media. As a person who's in the media, who's done stuff, worked on the ESPN and all of everything, I've listened to guys talk and listen to what they're saying. They have no idea what they're talking about most of the time. And these are, including myself as a former player, you know, we're talking about things and we're speculating and we're putting our emotions and our feelings in and we're putting our hopes in and all this other stuff. But a lot of times we just don't know. Like, okay, look at the NBA finals, or not the finals, the playoffs, when Denver's done. Minnesota's the best team in the league. I'm like, oh, did you know the Joker still plays for that team? You don't know what's going to happen. This morning, Scottie Scheffler, you know, got arrested. Comes out and knocks a birdie down in the first hole. You don't know what these guys are thinking.
Did he really?
The first hole. He warmed up for 20 minutes. I warmed up for 20 minutes. I can't hit my second shot. I can't. I don't know how far it's going to go. I'm guessing. I'm talking to myself already. He comes out there. He basically gets out of the car like every other Muni golfer and walks up to the tee box and hits
5 minutes before the tee time.
Putting his shoes on in the parking lot and goes out and hits it. So, yeah, you just don't know.
So he's as even keel as Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson was like this, you would think something was wrong with him. This guy's good. This guy's good.
Well, so is Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Jalen's pretty good. He better be good tonight. That's all I'm going to say.
That's for sure. I'd like to finish that thing off tonight, just like the Rangers did last night in Carolina.
The Rangers did. They did.
All right. And then the other big announcement, A Night with Legends at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
On June 20th. I don't know if you've got your plans squared away yet, Howard, but on June 20th, they'll be in the theater at Madison Square Garden. Proceeds for tickets that you will be purchasing will go to the Giants Foundation, the charitable arm of this franchise. And
am I invited to that? Am I on the list?
You know, I don't know if your email's working, your text is working, or your you know.
I saw an email. I didn't know I was supposed to go.
Well, you can square that away with the folks upstairs. But we did want to just make sure. I don't think on the yesterday's show we mentioned it, but the Night of Champions is June 20th at the theater at Madison Square Garden. And again, proceeds are going to the Giants Foundation. So it's a great cause, and it's a night of Q&A and a night of memories and so forth and so on. Howard, I'm
emailing it right now, Joanne.
I'm sure one way or another you're going to be there. Well, that's not the week that you're going to Aruba, is it?
No, I'm not going to Aruba.
Okay, I'm just making sure. 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone lines are open. Want to take your phone calls. We asked you yesterday if you wanted to comment on the Giants uniforms or on the Giants schedule, and it turned out we got a lot of other calls that wanted to talk about the team, which is fine. But we just figured with some of the news items that broke this week, you might want to talk about some of that stuff as
and if
well.
You've called already this week, go ahead and call again if you want to.
Pearson's producing today, as he usually does. Okay, he's our starting producer, all right, if you want to construct a depth chart for Big Blue Kickoff Live. He is our starter. He's also an all-pro, I might add. And he actually gave me a ruling yesterday. He said, you know what? We're going to allow repeat callers today. And that was a good move on his part because I'm sure, you know, anybody who's been following John Schmelk's rule about only one call per week, well, you didn't know news was going to come out. Now that it's come out, you can call back.
Why is John so grumpy? John's just grumpy.
Well, he just likes to get new callers sometimes, I think.
You know, hey, I'll tell you what. I don't think he's going to be grumpy tonight because, as I recall, his schedule with the young children in the family is going to work out okay, so he's going to get to see the Knicks tonight.
Is he going to go?
It's in Indiana.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good.
So he's, you know, we could all watch it on TV.
What schedule with the kids? You can watch TV when you have kids.
He had some kind of conflict. If the game was going to be, right, Pearson? Yeah. If the game was earlier in the evening, he was going to have to babysit.
He was going to have to get a babysitter so he could watch in his basement.
Right.
He said that out loud?
Yes.
Did his wife hear it?
I don't think she listens to the show. I think she gets enough of him at home without having to turn it on to the
program. I had twins, and I could watch whatever. I watched the Masters with twins, and they were babies.
Well,
I guess I got big baby skills. You know what I'm saying? I was a good daddy.
Sure. Well, look how they've grown.
Yeah.
Son's still playing in Notre Dame. Another year, right, Howard?
Yep. Finished his Masters, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah, so now he gets to go to school and have fun and play football and get ready for his draft. So that's fun for him. God bless him.
You mentioned to me the other day, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, last time I saw you here at the facility, that he was climbing up the rankings for next year's draft, too.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, too soon to say kind of stuff. But, yeah, he's pretty high up in the rankings. He's like top of the second round by their projections. But, you know, who knows?
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But he's got to stay healthy, stay in shape, keep his mind right, and most of all, have fun. Because it's a fun time of life. Just enjoy yourself.
I don't want to put you on the spot, so you can decline to answer if you don't want to.
When you do that, so you put me on the spot.
No, not really. I just wonder on the level of comfort.
Uh-huh.
How comfortable would you be if he wound up here?
I don't care where he goes. I mean, if he came here, it'd be great for him. I mean, like I said, great organization, great.
He's a defensive tackle, by the way, you folks. Now, if you don't know,
the only problem with that is the amount of tickets he'd have to get every week.
No, but you'll foot the bill for those.
No, I won't. No, I won't.
Oh, Pearson, what do we think about this? No. Howard's not going to foot the bill for family tickets?
No.
He'll
be making a lot more money than me. Both of them make more money than I do, so I'm not really worried about that. But he'll be getting some tickets. He got buddies and friends and high school, and that could be ugly. Boy, that could be ugly.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? You think they need it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
201-939-4513. Phone lines are open. We're going to go to our first caller. It is Brian in Pittsburgh. You're the first one up on Big Blue Kickoff Live today. Hello.
Steel of the country.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good to talk to you.
Get the all-star lineup today with Paul, Howard, and the starting producer, too. Good.
Pearson's also now a star actor. I hear they're thinking about a Hollywood Walk of Fame for him.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, how could they not after they saw that hair?
Incredible.
Boy, Pearson, that's got the locks going.
What can we do for you today, Brian?
Hey, I just so I wanted first to take a victory lap with about the draft with Paul. I had called in before the draft, and it seemed like Paul and I were kind of on like an island with the QB situation. I had said, like, I called in and it was Lance and John, and I said I'd be a lot more surprised than not if the Giants ended up drafting a QB at any point in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of laughed me off, and turned out to happen. So I first happy about that. I know Paul was on that island too.
I was, and I think the other caveat that we talked about was even if they were somewhat interested in a QB, the price to possibly move up was going to be so outrageous, it never made any sense to me. I never thought it was realistic. And as it turned out, that's really what happened.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. But I say if you're going to get one, you probably get one late. And the guy I was thinking about was the guy that the Jets got. I mean,
you like Travis, right?
I thought Travis would be, you know, a good, you know, third, fourth, fifth round pick guy. But they did great in the draft. They got everybody that was the top of their position at that moment. So you got to commend them on that.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too. The one thing with, like, I like Jordan Travis mid-round, but if they did that, they would have had to carry three QBs on the roster at least.
They might still do that.
Yeah, possible. You know, possible with keeping Tommy DeVito, but I know, like, they've never done it up to this point, and I would be surprised if they ended up keeping three.
They're gonna have to keep three, you know, in some way. They're gonna either keep one guy or somebody will get picked up if you put him on the waivers and try to slide him into the practice squad. But you got to have a third guy for the practice squad, just so you can have somebody that can help, you know, help carry the load of passing and throwing routes.
Yeah, and I agree with keeping another guy on the practice squad. I guess I meant like the 53 man.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I know.
Problem is, DeVito's gonna get claimed. If you try to put him on the practice squad, somebody will scap him up. So I think here's my thought, Brian, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this as we get to training camp. But it seems to me that because of Daniel Jones's injury history, okay, you just can't be 150% confident that he's going to be able to give you the whole season. So that's why Drew Lock is here, right? Well, here's the thing. If Daniel suffers a significant injury of some ilk.
Or he doesn't get started on time.
Okay, right. Or if he's not starting on time, which I suspect it's looking more like he will. But if it doesn't happen and Drew Lock is your starter, well, then who's your backup? Mm-hmm. I think they would feel comfortable if Jones has to be out of the picture for a few weeks. I think they'd be comfortable with Lock and DeVito, which is why I'm scared to try to clear him through waivers. I think he's going to get scapped up.
He's definitely.
I think you got to keep him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that is possible. I would be a little more comfortable rolling the dice because I feel like you could probably pick somebody else up if that did happen. That's at least close to DeVito. I don't think it would be too big of a drop off.
Well, they won't know the system as good as he does, though, because now he will have been here for well over a year and a half.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have familiarity, and you can bring somebody in. Then you have to, you know, you're bringing in somebody that is free, that's out in the market, right? And you're bringing them in. You're trying to bring them into the scout team to let them play and try to pick up the plays and study and do stuff. And if Daniel has an injury and all of a sudden locks up, then all of a sudden that guy's really close to playing, and you don't know. You just don't know. So that's what they're going to figure out. DeVito actually played some games. Played well when he played. Was able to even scratch off some wins during the process. So it's going to be kind of hard to, like, you know, figure out how to, like, either if they try to sneak him through waivers, he's not going to make it. Because you got to remember there's so many quarterbacks got hurt last year.
I know.
It was like maybe the largest number maybe in NFL history. So
it was.
You can't depend on one guy right now.
And believe me, if there is a guy significantly better on somebody's quarterback depth chart than Tommy DeVito, chances are they're keeping him.
Yeah.
He's probably their second instead of their third, and they're keeping him.
And I bet this year more teams will move towards three quarterbacks because of the so many guys got hurt last year.
Okay, Brian, I'm sorry we interrupted you. Go ahead.
I think it'd be definitely something that's going to be fun to watch over the coming months. I also just wanted to express some, like, general optimism about this team and this roster.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a lot of negativity that's been going around about it, but I think that this is by far far the just on paper and knock on wood, I know optimism is a little crazy sometimes, but on paper, this is the best offensive line we've had in probably 8 years at least. The wide receiver weapons all look great. Upgraded, probably again the best we've had in about 8 years. So I think this team's going to be better than people are expecting, and I'm looking forward to this year, big time.
Good call, Brian. Thank you. 201-939-4513. We've got some phone lines open. Before I go to the next call, Howard, did you get a chance at all to see Theo Johnson, the former Penn State tight end who got drafted by the Giants in the fourth round?
I got to see him in some games this year.
What did you think?
I thought he was a good player. You know, he did a lot of everything. He was an inline blocker, did a pretty good job doing that. They slid him out to the slot so he could run some routes. He did a good job doing that. Catches the ball with his hands. Great open field runner when he gets the ball. So he kind of covers a lot of bases. He even done some of the move tight end stuff, moving from side to side and blocking. I don't think he can do some of the blocks he was able to do in college, but he'll adjust. I think he's going to be a good, you know, a good pickup.
So if by chance Darren Waller does not return, you're talking about having Bellinger and Johnson and one of the other lesser guys on the depth chart who they acquired during the offseason, you'd be okay with that then?
Yeah, you're going to be okay with it because you got to think about it. You're going to have Neighbors out there running routes, right? And you're going to have Hyatt running routes. You're going to have three or four guys that are all of a sudden going to start emerging at receiver. You're going to have a back that you picked up in the draft that is an incredible route runner.
Tracy,
incredible route runner. So all of a sudden, you got two tight ends that are going to be formidable players. Hopefully, they're not having to chip every play, but if they have to chip, they can chip and get out. And if they get, you know, and the young man that we just picked up from Penn State, if he chips and gets out, it's just like one of those screens he ran at Penn State. Yeah. So there you go. So you got a lot. I'm okay with it. I mean, you hope Waller, I guess, makes a decision soon so you'll know what you're really going into. But either way, I think you got two young guys that are ready to go.
201-939-4513. We have some open lines. But right now we go to Bob in New Jersey. You're on line two. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Paul and Howard.
How are we doing, Bob?
I want to thank you. Okay, I want to thank you for the job that you did with the Giants as a tight end. And congratulate you on your son, who not only is a very good ball player, but was smart enough to get a master's degree, or going for the master's degree.
He got it, thank goodness.
Very cool.
Oh, he did get it. Very good. That's
a tough school to do it in, too.
Exactly. Hey, I've been a Giant fan since 1950. My dad, he started in 1925. He was a high school. He used to get into the Giant games and hold your hat on this for 50 cents and a GO card, which...
Wow.
If you don't know what that is, that showed that he was a high school student.
That's
so he got
funny.
A discount. So anyway, the 1950 team was a good team. That's the team that Landry developed the umbrella defense.
Mm-hmm. Featuring Sam
Huff. No, it was before Huff.
Yeah, but Sam later became the key part of that rush defense in the front seven.
Absolutely. In 1950, they were still playing a middle guard on defense. So they pulled back, I forget the fellow's name, I think it was John Baker. They pulled him back and made him a middle linebacker, because of Otto Graham and the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
That was the first year that the Browns were in the league, and their offense was, aside from the Rams, was something that nobody saw before. All the passing that they had, Max Speedy, Dante Lavelli, Doug Jones, those guys were all great pass receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite player was Eddie Price. He was the running back for the Giants. And
sure.
he held the record for yards until Ron Johnson became the first Giant to get 1,000 yards.
1970.
In the 70s.
Yep.
So anyway, this is great, this 100th anniversary stuff.
That's
pretty
cool.
It's 74 years I've been watching them, and so I know a lot of those plays.
Do you still come to the games?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah, I got six kids, all Giants fans. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have one son who's was a Cowboy fan.
Oh my!
Out of the
wheel. We didn't dishonor him. It was in the 1970s.
He's just out of the wheel. It's okay.
I'm just thinking he might have gotten a bad batch of children's vitamins when he was a youngster. That's all.
That's when vaccination came out. Yeah. Polio vaccination, something. I don't know.
But we had to go to Trenton in 1956 to see the championship game because it was blacked out in New York.
When they beat the Bears.
Yes. And we were at the greatest game because my uncle was bartender at the Stadium Bar, which is across the street from Yankee Stadium. And the players used to go in there after practice and after games. And a fellow named Bud's Guy, who was a backup offensive lineman, gave him tickets to the games.
It was cool.
A nice trade. He got tickets for drinks. It worked out well for us.
That's funny.
I think so.
And we went down. The tickets were great tickets because they were players' tickets.
Sure.
So we were on the 35-yard line, just where Gifford made the first down, and then was robbed because of the injury. And they put the ball down in the wrong spot.
Yep.
And I was at a charitable event for Bonaconte. Mm-hmm. He used to have charity dinners for his son, who was
paralyzed. Crippled. Yep.
Yes, sir.
And sitting at the table with O.J. Simpson. And Gifford came in. And all I said to him is, "You made that first down." He said, "You bet your ass you did."
Well, Bob,
and
I'm glad
to talk about what it was.
Well, I'm glad you called, Bob, because as a season ticket holder, no doubt you saw the announcement that came out earlier this morning that Giants season ticket holders this year are going to be getting a gift box commemorating the 100th season of the Giants. And among the things in that gift box are replica rings from the four Super Bowl championship teams.
Oh, nice.
So that's a very, very cool thing that season ticket holders are going to be receiving. And so for that, I'm glad, and I hope you enjoy that when the package comes.
Oh, I sure will. We were at the Super Bowl Eli threw the touchdown pass against the
to Burris,
obviously the Patriots. Yeah,
yeah.
My son was, who's the black sheep in the family. He's coordinating. He's a coordinating producer for ESPN, and he was doing the post game show. So we met him there, and
I feel bad for him though, because as a Cowboys fan, he's never going to see another Super Bowl championship.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. We remind them of that.
Yeah. Bob, we're going to have to let you go. We have other callers who want to get in. Thank you so much. Yep. Keep
You're
being
welcome.
A great
Bye.
Fan.
Thank you.
201-939-4513. Got to read a couple of quick promotional announcements.
That dude knew some history, man.
Wow,
that was
he
pretty
said
impressive.
Since 1950. Very cool. Very, very cool.
I'm trying to figure out the rate, you know, person or the beers you'd have to drink to get 50-cent tickets.
Well, I wonder how many spreads would you have to use to barter for a ticket today?
That'd be an awful lot of food. You'd be diabetic if you eat all that kind of food. $20,000.
Folks, the Giant Total Podcast, just want to make sure you guys are well aware. Again, we've got all kinds of long-form interviews, former coaches, players, NFL dignitaries, so forth and so on. It's on your favorite podcast platform. Go to Giants.com/podcasts. Apple Podcast has it there. You can leave a positive review. Giants season ticket memberships are available. You can take your fandom to the next level all year round. Why not? Root for Big Blue. To learn more about exclusive member benefits, visit Giants.com/tickets. Limited inventory is available. And Giants TV is the official TV streaming app. It's got all kinds of video content on there. Great stuff regarding the 100th birthday or 100th season of Giants football as well. Giants TV is free on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and the Giants mobile app, I should say. We go back to the line to 201-939-4513. Len from Maryland. We were hoping to hear from you this week. How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, Len. Paul. Hey, Howard. Good to talk to you.
Good talking.
Geez, that was a great call. It took me down memory lane myself because I'm an old Geo card user from those days myself. Saw many games in the 50s. Now he had me. It wasn't quite clear, but he had me beat by a couple of years. I saw my first game in 52.
Wow.
Which you know, that's, and if it'd been a season ticket holder in the family since 64, but. He threw some great names out there from, you know, from the opposition and from the Giants as well. So it's always good to hear callers like that. I like the schedule from a season ticket holder standpoint.
Yep.
You know, we got some 1 o'clock games. We got the home opener, you know, first week of the season. The night games are early in the season, not like last year when we played Green Bay on December 15th at night.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. So the night games are early, and there's breaks in between games. You know, when I think there's one situation where there's two in a row. But, yeah, the bye comes right in the middle of the season. So from the way, you know, hope we can deal with it and hope we win some of those games. Paul, I want to pat you on the back. One of your broadcasts last week, I forget who you were on, maybe Jonathan, and you were going through the blue quadrant on the greatest 64 plays in Giants history.
Oh, yes, I did not mention that. You guys can get online and vote for your favorite plays as they have like an NCAA basketball bracket of great plays in Giants history. Yes, that's on Giants.com as well. I appreciate you bringing that up, Len. Somehow that slipped my mind.
Yeah, and again, back to the pat on the back, I want to compliment you on when you talked about the sneakers game, I want to compliment you on remembering what college the sneakers came from.
Manhattan,
Manhattan College, and as a Jasper alum, Paul, I'm always pleased to hear that. I'm always pleased to hear Manhattan mentioned, and of course they have a little history with the Giants.
Mr.
I know
J.
Howard will remember the trainer Johnny Johnson.
Yeah, Mr. J, absolutely.
Who worked up at Manhattan for decades, and also old Doc Sweeney, Paul. You probably remember him from way back as that team doctor.
I know of the name.
And of course, the sneakers game, which ties in Manhattan. Often people get it confused and mention another college. I won't mention the name of that college, but it's probably your place, Paul. gets credit for the sneaker game. But thanks for mentioning that.
Well, that's because Wellington Mara was part of Fordham's Seven Blocks of Granite.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
Fordham has quite a connection to this organization too, you know.
Oh, I know.
Easy, yeah. Paul. Easy. It's like Alabama Auburn over here.
Go Rams. Go Rams.
Back in the 50s, Paul, wasn't Fordham a in-season practice site because they couldn't get in the Yankee Stadium with the Yankees playing well into October?
Some reason, I thought he was going to call it a girls' school. But, okay, that's good.
Wow. I used to like this guy.
This is so bad. I'm just
Man.
Joking.
You know how many times I promote Roll Tide for you?
Do you hear Lynn laughing? He's laughing.
I hear he's laughing. Wow.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on, Lynn. Let me give you a good John Johnson story. He was a trainer for so long. You know, he was at Manhattan College. He was trainer for so long. When they started the football, and they started the NFL football, he's like, would you like to be the trainer for the Giants? He goes like, yeah. He goes, he took the job. He goes, it won't last. Who wants to watch professional football? He told me that. I started crying. I'm like, he really?
He was a nice man. You
yes,
know,
he
I,
was.
Very nice
many
man.
I went to many Giant Redskins then games down here in Washington, and I always used to give Johnny a yell, and he'd come over, and we'd talk a little bit and shake hands and talk about the old days at Manhattan College. He was a fine man. He was a fine man.
Absolutely.
Paul, so just real quick on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, on paper, you know, you look at the top 30 guys, and I feel pretty good about it. You know, it gets a little weak after that, but everybody's team gets a little weak after that. You know, I know, Paul, you've heard me say this before. I think you win with 30 to 33 guys. You got to get the best out of them. Your best players have to play their best. How about Kreider last night, huh? Your best player playing his best at a prime moment for the Rangers.
Yeah,
I mean,
buddy.
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need your best guys to come forward. You know, the last 4 minutes of the game, give me those core players making plays. That's what they get paid to do. But I like the top 30. After that, you know, like everybody else, you know, you find some weaknesses. But on paper, I think we're okay. And I'm you know, looking forward to training camp, looking forward to the season. And, you know, hopefully Daniel can be with us for 16, 17 games. And I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, Len. Hey, thanks for calling again.
Thanks for the opportunity to reminisce.
No problem.
Good stuff. 201-939-4513. Randy, you're next on line two on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, he told me to be nice about the uniforms, but it's kind of hard to.
Well, you're not, unless you're really, really old, and I mean that respectfully, you're just not used to these. You know, that's all.
I can't get past the pants.
But you could have those Pittsburgh Steeler prisoner uniforms they had that year.
The Bumblebees.
Hey, I'll let that go. He told me to be nice, but that was me being nice.
Okay,
anyway,
we got you.
Okay, is Daniel Jones, you know how they always go out and they have a little throwing session away from, you know, the league because you're not allowed to do that? You know, they go out and throw together, get together.
Yeah, they have a lot of quarterbacks have their own little passing camps on their own. That is right. That's true.
Right. Do the offensive linemen do that at all?
Well, let me put it to you this way. They can, because it's a non-sanctioned event, any of the linemen who want to go can go. A lot of linemen will get together on their own, though.
Yeah, he's asking, do the linemen get together and work out together like that to do their own kind of camps?
They're allowed to.
Yeah, get that chemistry.
Yeah. Some of them do. Some of them.
Yeah, I mean,
there are linemen now in the league that are they're banding together and starting to, you know, kind of like the tight ends are doing. Tight ends around the league, they have a big tight end forum or something where they go out and they talk about, you know, blocking and running routes and what works, what doesn't work. I think outside backers and defensive ends, pass rushers are coming together as groups, not just as one team, but just. This technique worked, this technique works, and they're helping each other out. Something that would have never happened in my day. We would have never done anything like that.
That's for sure.
But
I don't think Parcells would have let you do it.
But these guys, because of like the way they do 7-on-7 camps as kids and stuff, they're starting to come together as groups and trying to work on their craft together.
So if you're asking about this team,
every minute they can.
I can't tell you specifically which of these Giants players may or may not be doing something like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't know the answer to that right now.
It all depends on who them. Yeah, and it all depends on who you know from the other teams too.
No doubt,
if you get invited, that's the other thing.
Get together and work on the stunts and watching film together and doing things like that during. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's kind of.
It would be great.
Yeah, it's kind of hard unless they do it together, just as the Giants offensive line. It's kind of hard for them to do it. You know, from team to team, because you can't really share techniques and how you pick up stunts and what you do. In my mind, it's universal the way you would pick them up, but evidently not. So it's kind of hard because every team does it a little differently.
OTAs, by the way, start on Monday of next week. Mm-hmm. We're 3 days away from the official OTA sessions, which is phase three of the off-season program.
Yeah, one more thing, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
How long do you think it'll take for that? And what?
Well, we're losing.
As far as.
We lost.
How long do you think it'll take that line? Did you get me?
Go ahead.
Oh, we're getting some cell issues there.
Got me?
Were you asking how long it'll take for the new offensive line to gel? Is that what you're asking?
Exactly. Sorry about that, guys. I'll take your hands off the air.
Okay, sure. Howard?
I think if they're all healthy and stuff, I think they'll start working here in OTAs, and hopefully they'll keep working together throughout the offseason or throughout this time of the year, trying to figure out, you know, how to be on the same page. I think the biggest thing that's happened in the past over the last, I guess, 6 years or so, is that they've been getting caught with the stunts and the twists. They haven't been able to pick them up properly, and mm-hmm. you know, and that's not the last line coach. It's been several line coaches they've gone through, and for whatever reason, they've had issues with it. I think this year you're going to have a very healthy Thomas on the outside there. I think that your center is going to be a little bigger and a little stronger. John Michael Schmitz, and Neil will be healthy going into this camp, instead of like limping in like he did last year. So with those three guys and the two pickups you have at guard, out of the three or whichever one plays, I'm just hoping that for the most part, the way we kind of went into the season last year was we're competing for the starting guard. I don't want to hear that this year. I want it to be five guys. I'd like for five guys, somebody stand up, and take charge, and let's make it these are five, and everybody else get in line behind us because we're going to need you. That's the way I would hope it would go.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Howard, I've always been a proponent, especially with your offensive line when it's being rebuilt. Mm-hmm. I've always been a proponent to get those guys some extra snaps together in the preseason. Risky because of potential injury, and I know a lot of coaches don't want to do it, but in my opinion, if you don't get those guys to start meshing together, it's counterproductive. You haven't done anything. You haven't helped yourself.
This is what I think. I think, first off, this whole injury thing is overblown. I think you play football. If you get injured, if you get injured the first practice or the first game, or like Aaron Rodgers, four plays into your season, you're still injured.
Right.
So go ahead and get what you get. So you'll know what you have going forward. That's one. Number two, I think that, when you talk about how, like I said, it becomes more of a player thing than a coaching thing. The players have to want to stand up and be that guy every play and make decisions and not make mistakes so that they can count on you, so that all of a sudden there is no decision to be made. Okay, hey, Paul, get in there, right guard. Thank you. Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing at such a high level that, they can't take you out because they need you to play. That's a player thing. The players themselves have to want to be that guy, to be the starter, to be the person.
You've said to me 1,000 times on this show and even off the air, when you played, you weren't interested in sitting out because that gave somebody else an opportunity to get your reps.
Listen, when I came into the league, I had Moat and Navarro, very nice guys, two of the nicest men you'll ever meet. Never wanted me on the field. Wouldn't even let me go into practice. I got a coach. I need to work on something. I'm like, what are you talking about? Coach, like, listen, if I tell you you're going to practice, you're going to practice. Yes, sir. You'd go in. They try to send you back out. The coach told me to come in. Well, he didn't. He told me to come in. Then they would come out and they'd look over and and it just became part of the thing. But you have to go in. You have to train yourself, and you have to want to be the guy on the field, because when it's time for you to go, you may not ever leave the field again. Like, I came in and when it was the old San Diego Chargers, after Moat and Bavaro both got hurt, mm-hmm. and I played every down after that from going forward. And that's just part of the game. You're trying to get into the game. You're doing all you can. And you got to want to be in more than anything else. It's just the way it is. Now guys, not necessarily offensive linemen, but now guys I need a rest. you need a what?
That was not part of the mentality in Howard's day, that's for sure.
It's just you're not a three-down player. No, I'm an every-down player. I don't know how many downs you got. I'm playing every down you let me, but it's just a different mentality. It's taught differently. It's kind of like I see in every sport, load management, make sure these guys don't wear themselves out. And my answer to that is I grew up on a farm. We worked hard every day. So no one took a break. But football and professional sports, I guess guys like to take breaks.
201-939-4513. Giants will have three preseason games this season. They'll take on Detroit, Houston, and the Jets. Okay. The Detroit game is the home game. Houston and the Jets are technically road games. Of course, the Jets game will be at MetLife Stadium.
I was about to say.
So it's not exactly a far trip. You don't have to pack your bags for
We don't have to go to Florham Park or nothing. We can still play here?
No. Okay, it's going to be here. Marty in Manahawkin, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Howard. Hey, Paul. Hi. Hey, Paul, I wonder if you could give a quick overview on Little Turbo. I think you've had some firsthand knowledge watching him play at Fordham. I wonder if you could
he played at Columbia.
Elaborate.
Yeah, he played at Columbia, first of all. And the thing about him is that because he ran into some eligibility issues in terms of did he have enough credits to qualify and not and so forth and so on, he had applied for an extra redshirt year after he got out of South Carolina. And there was a lot of red tape with the NCAA. And consequently, he wound up sitting out so long that it wasn't profitable or make any sense for him to come back in. So he wound up sitting out thinking he was going to get another year back this season. Then the NCAA ruled after the season, no, sorry, you don't get that extra eligibility. That year is gone. They ruled against him. So now he was out in the cold. So, hey, what are you going to do? You're going to go and say, I'm going to sign an NFL contract. And that's what happened. So the Giants wound up picking him up. They went to his pro day. They saw what they liked, or liked what they saw, I should say, and they signed him. And he's known as Little Turbo. And his deal is this. He's very short, thick, and incredibly quick. So the potential to have him as part of that backfield by committee is certainly one thing that's interesting, but more so, we think that on kickoff returns, with the new kickoff return rule, and it seems apparent that running backs are going to be the kinds of guys you're going to want to use to return kickoffs, Howard, this could be a very interesting spot for him. So we will see.
You say Columbia, like Columbia, South Carolina?
No, as in Ivy League Columbia.
He was in Columbia?
He played for the Columbia Lions and then wound up at South Carolina.
Oh, he left Columbia?
Well, he transferred.
I would never have left Columbia. Okay. All right. That's pretty good. All right.
Anyway, he's known as Little Turbo. It's Dante Miller is his name. I'm just looking up his actual weight and size because I know you were asking about him. Let me see if I can just find that here real quickly. I think he's like 5'8", 190 maybe, 190 pounds. Let me see here. Oh, I'm trying to look it up. It is 5'8", 200 pounds.
Ooh. Okay. That is a little turbo. Okay, that's good size.
He could actually be one of those Boston Scott type that could get lost behind the line on you, right?
Well, remember Dave Meggett?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, he's about Meggett size. He may be a little heavier than Meggett.
A little bit.
Yeah, but he's about Meggett size. Yeah.
I've gotten a chance to see him here, and he's thick. He's cut.
Okay. Good for him.
Anyway, Dante Miller is the guy you're talking about.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, well, that new kickoff rule is going to be interesting. You're going to need a guy that could, break a tackle or two because you're going to – instead of it being, I don't think people realize, but instead of it being, a wave of guys coming down and you're getting, three or four levels to block before you get to them, it's going to be, really one level of guys. So if you break through the line, there's not going to be a deep guy to stop you from going.
Talking to some of the front office people here in the personnel department and the scouting department, they're really not sure how in the early part of the season this is going to shake out. They're not even sure if teams are going to want to deploy two kickoff returners.
Listen,
really don't know.
So without even knowing anything about how they're going to set it up, the first thing you do is you have cross blocks coming across the field to block guys out. Mm-hmm. Turn a guy free running long. The other guy comes across the field and blocks him. Once he knocks him offline and this guy's still running down, if he beats that guy.
There's going to be a lot of room. There's going to be a lot of room.
I'm going to tell you, that coverage team better be fast because those guys are going to break that line. It's going to be gone. Guys will be returning the ball from 12 yards deep. They'll be trying batting it back over the line so they could get, no, don't let it go out, catch it. We can get a touchdown.
I want to make sure now I got this right. I don't want to just say it. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Miller has clocked unofficially at 4.27 in the 40. You like that, Howard? Is that fast?
I wouldn't tackle him. I wouldn't get nowhere near somebody that little.
Now do you understand why he's a candidate for kickoff return?
Oh, my goodness. Shoulders, knees, hips, everything would be hurt trying to catch somebody that thick, moving that fast.
Yeah. And with a low center of gravity, too. There's not a lot of to tackle there.
I don't think it's a low center of gravity. He's just low. It's going to be bad.
We go to line one, and Maurice in Montclair. You're next on BBKL. Hello.
There he goes.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Happy Friday.
Hey, man. Listen, I have a quick one. Two little quick nuggets, right? I have a question, or more of an evaluation on the bracket. I really feel like my honest opinion, and Paul, I'm really looking for your input on this. I think that Eric Howard's play in San Francisco, if it's not top three or four, and that's as much as I can take. I'm 30 years old. I just turned 30, so obviously I don't remember that game. Just going back to watch, when you think about the significance of the game, the part within the game, the individual effort, when you look at him firing off the ball, and just how hard is it in today's NFL when the game is almost put away to try and get the ball back from the opposing team. And, I mean, just his individual effort to just give effort, just to go hard enough, and he made the play, and it just was remarkable for that team, especially at that moment, because it instantly gave us the life that we needed, because our backs was against the wall when you think about it. So I also want to mention how you guys feel about that. I want your feedback on that play from Eric Howard, because I think what else play can compete with it as far as in terms of significance? Maybe the helmet catch, because the part of the game and other things like that. The Odell catch is a great play, but it really didn't hold much weight in terms of other significance, if you know what I mean. But I want to add this. I think an honorable mention that's left out, and it's kind of disappointing because this is a great play in Giants history. Jaquan Williams making a just an effort play, reaching out and just stripping the ball from Williams and setting us up right there. I would take Brandon Jacobs' run over against Woodson. Although that did set the tone and that was a great start for us, I would take that out and insert Jaquan Williams, because I really feel like that's a remarkable, great play in Giants history. And I'll just take everything off the air.
All right, Maurice, I'm going to let Howard talk about the Eric Howard play, because obviously he was there. Okay. So I'm going to have him do that. And then I'll add a comment about the other postseason plays you mentioned.
I think that was a good play. I think that, you know, I think people realize that was a good play, but you have to also, you know, account for that. That game was going so crazy. We had the fake punt in that game with Gary Reasons, which I was in the game, didn't know that was happening. You can't come in running screaming fake. You know that, right? I was in the game already, so they couldn't look. I was like, man, this be a great time to run that fake. He runs by me. I'm like, why is he running down the field? We're going to get a flag. I'm like, oh, he's got the ball. Anyway.
Thank goodness you didn't hold, Howard.
I didn't hold. I was just like, why is he running? I didn't hit a ball kick. It's a long story. But I do like the Eric Howard play. It was a big play. I think it was good. Also, later in the playoffs, the Mark Ingram play, I don't know if that's in the same bracket.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Awesome play, because he just got hit, I think, seven times and spun and turned and spun and turned and spun and got the first down. So, like, I was a part of, like, three or four of the big plays in the playoffs, and it was just a lot of fun to watch.
You know, Howard, if Eric Howard causes the Roger Craig fumble at the end of the 1990 NFC Championship game, and LT isn't right there in the backfield to land on the ball, well, then maybe we're not even talking about the forced fumble. But LT had to recover it.
Yeah, but that's the kind of defense we had back then.
No doubt.
We had the kind of defense that those guys were across the line of scrimmage all the time. Eric Howard, Big John Washington, tip of the spear, so to speak. You know, Leonard Marshall. It was tough sledding up front if you're an offensive line playing against the Giants.
And in reference to the other plays, I'm going to make it simple. You know, I mean, I'm starting my 42nd season of covering the Giants. So to be frank with you, first-hand plays that I've seen, I could probably pick the best 250 plays instead of even 100, okay? And it's like picking your favorite song or your favorite child. How do you do it? there are so many awesome plays for a franchise that's been around now for 100 seasons, won 4 Super Bowls, been to another, also had a handful of championship games before there were Super Bowls.
Yep.
I mean, in all honesty, no matter what you decide to collect as the plays for this bracket and then you vote on, there's going to be debate and discussion for every single one of them. I mean, in all honesty, John and I, and let me run this by Howard real quick. I know we're running out of time. In terms of execution of play, you could make a case that Eli's pass to Mario Manningham down the sideline in the second Patriots Super Bowl is actually a finer piece of execution by both the quarterback with the throw and the catch and the tiptoe in the side the sideline than even David Tyree's.
No.
Because, well, here's why John said it, and I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Eli just threw the ball up. Now, he did have to escape, which required a tremendous amount of ability and dexterity to escape the pass rush. They're clutching and grabbing at him. But then when he throws that sucker to the middle of the field, that's pretty much, even he said, he just saw there was a white jersey down there and he just threw it.
So as a play happens, just I remember the play. David Tyree's open.
Right.
Eli's getting manhandled and escapes. He knows where he is, gets himself enough room to release the ball, and Tyree goes up and makes a great catch.
Phenomenal.
That is the quarterback fighting through despair. that is a receiver not giving up no matter what, because he had an all-pro, a Hall of Fame guy grabbing him and trying to pull him to the ground right then, and he makes the play.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison.
The Manningham play in Eli, Manningham does a great job executing a go route down the sideline. Eli throws the perfect ball over the outside shoulder. Manningham's right on the sideline, 2 feet down, it goes down. There's nothing to it. It was just, hey, this is what it's supposed to look like, and he did a job.
Right. I think that's what the point that John was trying to make was. In terms of perfect execution, the way you designed it and drew it up, it was flawless. Flawless. The Tyree play from Eli is more of an improv.
At the Tyreek play,
I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay, I think the Tyreek play is like, when I think of great plays, flawless plays are great. I think of players playing above the numbers, playing above the moment. There was a play the year that the Kansas City lost, I think to Tampa or something. Right, you got the quarterback vertical in the air.
Somebody's
got his legs,
Mahomes,
and he slings the ball like 30 yards.
Ridiculous.
To a receiver, I'm like, you know what? If they lose, whatever. I've never seen anybody do that before.
No.
It's like, when you see things like that, that's what makes you remember plays. You know, perfect throw. No, I drop back, no pressure. Ah, looks good. But, man, you see all that confusion and mayhem happening, that, like, the Mark Ingram play. To me, that's mayhem. Like, he's getting hit. He's getting grabbed. He's spinning. He's turning.
Broke 4 tackles to get that first down.
That's what I like to see.
Well, I don't think John was suggesting it remove Tyree as the greatest play. Mm-mm. He was simply saying a matter of executing the play cleanly, the way it was designed, just flawlessly.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. And I agree with that part of it.
Yeah.
But in terms of I'm going because I'm partial to Eli, and B, because there's two plays within one. It's his escapability first, and then it's the catch by Tyree. I'm always going to vote that as the greatest play in Super Bowl history, and it's always going to top whatever play chart that anybody wants to give me, because there's two parts to it. It's not just Tyree's catch.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm an Eli guy, so I'm very happy to give him credit for that.
I'm with you, but you could go back to the Giants-Denver Super Bowl and Sims almost being perfect.
Well, it's more than one play. That's a full 4 quarters.
I don't know how to explain it.
Like, it was phenomenal.
Okay,
greatest postseason performance by a quarterback in NFL history.
Like, you got to pick one play. Like, you could pick a player, maybe. He was darting everybody. I'm spreading the wealth. Let's get it.
Well, folks, that'll do it. Pearson, we're out of time, aren't we?
Yep.
201-939-4513
is our
number here on
up.
Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, we are here every single weekday live from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Jot down the number here on Giants.com for Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. This has been Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.